You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Simon Majumdar has been a virtual guest at our dinner table through TV shows like Iron Chef and Cutthroat Kitchen.
Though he's been living in the U.S. a while, he recently decided to become a citizen, and he set out to explore what it means to be American in a way uniquely suited to him through food.
He chronicled his cultural and culinary explorations in a new book called Fed White and Blue, Finding America with My Fork. Simon, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Well, how did you first decide that if you were going to get a handle on what it really means to be an American, it was going to be through food?
Well, I think food was the obvious choice for me. It has always been central to my life, to the point where some people even think it's a bit of an obsession. And in fact, food was the way that I met my wife in the first place and how I ended up in the United States. In 2007, I actually quit my job in the UK and decided to go around the world to eat. I was in a very dark place, and food really did save my life. And I ended up going around the world and writing my first book, which was called Eat My Globe. And on that journey, I met my wife and moved to the United States to be with her and got married in 2010. And I didn't just want to be part of America as a resident. I really wanted to be fully part of the process, so I wanted to become a citizen. And I needed to find out just emotionally as well as practically what that involved, because it was a big move. You know, I'm in my 50s. And so food for me was the obvious prism. It's what I do for a living. It's what I write about. And it has been my lifelong obsession for as far back as I can remember.
It seems like the U.S. would be a unique challenge to pin down food culture because it's plural. There are a whole lot of different food cultures that have been here over the years. Is this a tall order from the beginning?
It was a very tall order. You know, that's a very good question because, you know, American food culture really speaks to its history of immigration, its history of trade, even its history of war when you look at New Orleans and how that has changed over the years. And so, as I went out, I wanted to not only find part of the original communities, and I spent time with some of the native communities, but also some of the first communities, and I spent time at Plymouth Plantation with the historians there, and then following it through the barbecue communities, which was very much came through German immigrants as they moved west. You know, they developed different styles of barbecue, ending up almost with the style that we have in Texas, the beef barbecue. And then also the more modern immigrant communities. My wife is Filipino-American, so there's that new wave of Asian communities that are contributing to the food scene. And right now, I think we're actually in one of the most exciting times and most varied times in American food history.
Why do you think that we're at one of those crossroads of exciting food history right now? What strikes you about this moment in history?
Well, I think we've got this real meeting point where you have some of the, for want of a better word, kind of classic immigrant communities, the Italian, the German, the Irish, I mean, all who've contributed lots of different things. And then you've got this new wave of immigration coming up from Latin America and obviously coming in from Asia. And it's beginning to fuse. And I think that's why it's so exciting now. You're seeing things in Texas, for example, with huge Vietnamese communities bonding with the Tex-Mex cuisine and creating, you know, things like boiling crab with Vietnamese flavors. So really interesting times. You're seeing classically trained chefs, maybe second generation immigrants from Asia, who are bringing their home cuisines, whether it's Filipino or Thai, and taking them in different directions using classical techniques. So I think it's a really interesting meeting place that isn't, I don't think, being replicated anywhere else in the world.
Talking to Simon Majumdar about his new book, Fed, White and Blue. He's exploring American culture through its food. Let's get into some of the stories you encounter. Now, you describe yourself as an unlikely barbecue fan, and you went to Kansas to explore unique barbecue, a kosher barbecue in Kansas.
Well, I did, yes, and that's very much what I call a culinary who knew story, because I had no idea that such a thing existed. And then I received a wonderful email inviting me to a Sabbath ceremony, a Sabbath meal with a family in Kansas City. And almost as an addendum, they threw in, oh, well, if you're in town, there's also a kosher barbecue festival. And it was one of those moments where you go, what? And I went along, and it was run by someone who's become a very dear friend of mine, a rabbi called Mendel Siegel, and he's just passionate about barbecue. And it's run under the sanction of the KCBS, the overriding barbecue commission, but also under the Sabbath rules. So, you know, the rules, the competition doesn't start till after the Sabbath is finished. All the fires have to be lit by a rabbi. Of course, all the meat is kosher. So it's a really fascinating event. But what came out of that is once the event starts and the first bottle of beer pops, it's the same as any other barbecue competition you could imagine, and it's great fun. And as I said, that community have become dear friends, and I'm going back again this year, and I'm actually going to help host another one in Dallas in October.
Wow. So this has changed your eating lifestyle for a while.
And It has.
I got to ask you about Wisconsin next. I mean, we're very proud of our cheese here in Wisconsin, obviously. But at one point you wrote that America is where good cheese goes to die. Stinging words, but why did you say that?
Well, this is many years ago, and you know, I think it was certainly given my experiences coming to the United States, cheese that was brought over to the United States from Europe often wasn't treated terribly well and didn't survive the journey in any particularly good condition. And I think craft cheese making as we know it now was very much in its infancy, although obviously there was a great volume of cheese being made. And I think it's certainly changed 10, 15 years. And I would never be able to even think of saying those words now. And I know when I was in Wisconsin, I was in Madison at the cheese festival there. The quality of the cheeses was superb. The variety of the cheeses was there. And I think what really was there was the passion. And I think that's happening, you know, in craft industries across, whether it's beer or spirit making or, you know, every aspect of the American industry, American food production, I think is developing this now. And I really loved my time there. I'm looking forward to coming back when I'm on my book tour.
And you tried anyway to help make some cheese, and it didn't necessarily go the, if you'll pardon the pun, way you wanted it to.
Good one. Very good one. No, it did not. I was very lucky to go and hang out with a cheesemaker called Andy Hatch, who is making Pleasant Ridge Reserve, which I think is a world-class cheese under any circumstances. And while we were separating the curds from the whey, the pipe that was draining it became disassembled, spraying me with boiling hot whey, which then not only, you know, was slightly uncomfortable as it happened, but then it began to dry in the heat of the cheese making room, and I began to crack and sort of almost turned into a whey statue. And I have to say, most of those clothes ended up in the trash, because I don't know how many washes I tried to do, but it didn't work.
Well, I hope that didn't turn you off Wisconsin cheese.
Not at all. I mean, I've become, you know, even more of a fan, and unlikely, because of my previous views, an unlikely kind of proponent of it, and I really stand and tell people about it. And it's exciting. I think that's what I mean. Again, there's this wonderful craft movement coming up through all of these different areas.
Well, speaking of craft, there's a great big craft beer movement happening right now in America, and you actually went to Denver for that. You entered into the Great American Beer Festival. What did you find in Denver?
Well, it started off, in fact, in Edmonds, Washington, just north of Seattle, with a company called the American Brewing Company, who invited me to come and make a beer for the book. And we actually made, as the book is called Fed, White, and Blue, we made a beer called Fed, White, and Brew. So I made an ESB, an English-style bitter, and I was invited back to go to Denver to help pour, and we entered the beer there. And there were nearly 5,000 beers on offer there, I believe, and if my memory serves me correctly. And we won a medal. We won a bronze, which was really remarkable and a very special achievement. And in fact, as I sit here in Los Angeles, right next to me is my plaque and my medal, of which I am inordinately proud. And I'm very proud of that beer, and we're actually going to be making some more.
So whether we're talking about, you know, St. Louis and Kansas City barbecue or Wisconsin cheese or beer, insert a lot of different regions here, do you see more regions defining themselves by their unique food products these days?
I think there really is. I think people are becoming more and more proud of their regional ingredients. And there are some we know. Of course, we talk about Alaskan salmon and Maine lobster. But I think now we're beginning to talk about fiddleheads from certain areas. And we're beginning to talk about peaches from, you know, different parts of the world, of the country. And I think what's also happening, and it's partly a result, I think, of the economic problems of a few years ago, chefs found they couldn't afford to live in the big cities in New York, LA, Chicago, and they began to move back to their hometowns or to other smaller towns, taking these incredible skills with them and utilizing these ingredients that they found. So they began to seek out these ingredients, and that's why I think, for example, we're getting this big upsurge in Southern cuisine right now, which is deserved as well, because when it's done well, it's really a terrific cuisine. So we're beginning to see this all over the country. I saw it in New Mexico. I saw it in New England. I saw it in certainly in the Pacific Northwest. I began to meet these young chefs, men and women, who were really excited about what they were finding and really trying to show it off.
We're talking to Simon Majumdar. He's a food writer. He's been a judge on Iron Chef and Cutthroat Kitchen. He went off to make a culinary exploration of the United States to understand us through its food as he was preparing to become a citizen. He talks about it in his new book, Fed, White, and Blue, Finding America with My Fork.
And what about you? Is there a food that says America to you? What food defines where you're from, whether you're from Wisconsin or beyond? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with food writer and broadcaster Simon Majumdar about his new book. It's called Fed, White, and Blue. It chronicles his exploration of the United States through its food and its people.
And we invite you to join in at 800-642-1234. If you could explore a pocket of this country and its food, where would you go and why? What questions do you have for Simon about the journey he took? And is there a food or food tradition that defines Wisconsin, or your hometown, or a state, or a cultural heritage that's part of your life? Is there a food that's part of your identity here in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
And Simon, you did put in a fair amount of time here in the Midwest. We talked about Wisconsin, but you also stopped over in Minnesota, where you were given the so-called Minnesota nice treatment. What did you do in Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota happened really through social media, and I'm really glad that it did. I wanted to really experience 4th of July. I mean, it's a celebration that obviously as a Brit is slightly unknown to me, although obviously, yeah, one has heard of it. I've never really celebrated it. But if I'm going to become an American, it's going to become an important date in my diary. So I wanted to find out about it. And my thoughts were, rather than go to a place like Philadelphia or Boston that were part of the early American story, to really go and experience small town America during 4th of July. So I got a wonderful invitation from the people in Brainerd, Minnesota, which I have to admit, hands on my heart, I didn't even know existed. And they invited me up to the lakes there to spend time with them. And I got to take part in a bed push race and make apple pie and watch the pig race and spend time out on the lakes and have a barbecue and all very classic American things and see the parade. And it was really special. And in fact, I've been up to that area again soon, recently, to meet some of my friends there. And that really is one of the things at the heart of this journey. I've made so many great friends, what I call my slightly bonkers extended American family. and I just love it because I've connected with so many people through food on such a great level that it's become a really interesting journey for me, both emotionally as well as practically.
Well, let's go to a caller now. We've got Ben on the line in La Crosse. Ben, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting to think about all this. I've heard it said that the last thing to leave in a family is it's kind of its food ways, the culture of food. My brother and I are the first Morrises born outside of Kentucky since the 1700s. We have this deep Appalachian roots, but we're very Midwestern as far as we act. But for me, home is always pinto beans cooked with salt pork and, cornbread from a cast iron skillet. And, you know, I eat a lot of other Midwestern food, but at the end of the day, it always comes home to that stuff from Appalachia that I grew up with.
And Ben, do you still cook these Appalachian dinners for you, for your family and friends?
A couple times a week, yeah. I mean, cornbread is a staple, and you have to use Martha White's cornmeal because that's what my grandma always used, and probably more pork fat than a human being should have.
Ben, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Simon, I think a lot of migrants, whether within the United States or to the United States, probably have very similar stories to tell.
I'm sure they do. As I said, America is really the story of its immigration. And I think that food that you bring with you, whether you're moving within the United States from one area to another or to it, you're going to bring your favorite dishes with you. And I certainly got a lot of that shared with me. As I mentioned, my Filipino-American wife, and I cooked for her and her family. I spent some time in a Filipino restaurant trying to learn all the classic dishes so that I could get them on my side, as it were, and to see if I got their thumbs up. And I did. And that was special. To be able to learn those dishes and be able to prepare them for my wife was something that I know she's certainly pleased about.
And Simon, what do you think it is about actually sitting down, preparing food, eating with people that gets you better acquainted with, in this case, what America is, than going to, I don't know, town hall meetings or little festivals? Why does food open so many doors?
I think food really is one of the symbols, or certainly preparing food really is one of the great ways that you can show how much you love somebody. And it doesn't matter whether that's someone you know well or someone you barely know at all. And I'm a great believer in inviting your neighbors in for a meal if you know someone who's elderly, maybe a widow or a widower, and you think they're going to be on their own, and inviting them to share meals. Because that notion of breaking bread, whether you're religious or not, does have a really sacramental impact. And I have this saying that it's very hard to have an argument with someone when you have a mouthful of ribs. and I really believe that. So I think it's a great way to ease tensions between people, because once you're sitting down and saying, you know, please pass the potatoes, you're going to start having a conversation. And I always argue that we should have every peace treaty held over a huge family-style meal, usually cooked by the mothers or the grandmothers of the people involved, because A, everyone would be fed and very happy, and B, I think the grandmothers would slap some sense into them until they came to an agreement. And so I think food just has this ability to bring us together and sharing. And I know it's one of the things that I really love. And while I'm doing the book tour to support this book, my wife and I are just driving around the country in our car with my knife roll in the back and a box full of kitchen equipment. And we're staying in people's houses and we're cooking for them and with them. And then we're going into culinary schools and community centers and we're doing potlucks and we're doing book readings. And it's really not just about promoting the book, which obviously I'd like lots of people to read, but it's really about making connection. And I think food is one of those great ways about making connections with people.
Talking to Simon Majumdar about his new book, Fed, White, and Blue, and his exploration of the U.S. through its food. Simon, is there a food from the U.K., from your upbringing, that maybe we don't do right here in the U.S., something that says home to you that you recreate for people?
I do. You know, well, there's two aspects of that. One is my father is from India and from Calcutta, and I like to prepare food from that particular region and other regions of India. So I'm really fond of cooking that. And in fact, I've just come back from Puerto Rico, where I actually cooked some Indian food in front of my demonstration. And the other one that I've yet to find really the same as I ever find in Britain is fish and chips. Which is quintessential, but again, it's fish and chips is a story of immigration, with Portuguese Jewish people being exiled to London who knew how to fry fish, and Belgian Huguenots being exiled from Belgium who knew how to fry potatoes, and ending up meeting in London, and the next thing you know, we have fish and chips. So again, that shows you the history of food, but it's never quite the same here. And that's not to say there aren't good fish and chips here, but there's never something that's quite like eating fish and chips by the seaside in Yorkshire, where I was brought up.
That sounds great. Well, do you feel different now, having undergone this huge culinary tour of America, having cooked with so many different people along the way, so many different cuisines, so many different ethnic groups of people? Did it inform what you wanted it to inform, your sense of what it means to be a citizen of the United States?
Do you know, it absolutely did. And I wasn't expecting it to be quite as powerful as it was. But when I was at my citizenship ceremony and I looked around at the 3,200 other people, or however many it was, if my mind serves me correctly, and they were all high-fiving and hugging at the end of the ceremony after we'd said our oath, I realized that, you know, I have my story, but they each had a unique story, whether they came here to escape persecution or for economic benefit, or like me, because they fell in love. And, you know, I said it to my wife. I said, you know, up until this point, I've lived here, and now America is home. And I think that was a big difference. And that's how I think about this country now, whereas before I was just a resident. Now I think I have an absolute commitment, and I have a stake because I am a citizen. So I think for me it was definitely the right move.
Simon, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my very great pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
That's Simon Majumdar. He's a food writer, chef, and author of the new book we've been talking about, Fed, White, and Blue, Finding America with My Fork. And by the way, you can keep this conversation going on over at the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us, what food defines your identity as an American, Wisconsinite, an immigrant maybe, somebody who's moved from one part of the country to another? Share your story at the Central Time Facebook page.